listening to the Online Supercoach Podcast, the place where business owners create breakthroughs. Here's your host, AJ Mirza.
All right, so I am super excited to have a legend on the line, Mr. Peter Sage, and I'll go through a little backstory of how we first connected. So 2015, I would say, I was listening to this podcast called London Real, and I was blown away by this gentleman, the insight, the content. It was just like, wow, I listened to that interview like 10 times, and fate would have it that about a year ago, Peter and I got connected by a mutual friend. He was in New York. So I said, hey, come to my house. I'll interview you. We had a really, really powerful interview, and it blew my mind, blew my audience mind, and it was really, really profound. Now, Peter is a legend because he's a worldwide transformation expert. He's changed a ton of lives, been through a lot, has written a lot of books, one of them being The Inside Track, which I have here, which I highly recommend. And you're on for an amazing ride, and to kick things off, I want to ask you guys where you're watching this from. I'm in New York. Peter, where are you at?
I'm over in Canary Islands in Tenerife off the west coast of Africa right now.
Yes, yes, yes. Representing. And let's get started. First and foremost, Peter, great to have you on here. What is a quote or a mantra that fires you up?
I always have a go-to that says, you know, life is taking care of me and everything is going according to plan. No matter what chaos is happening in the outer world, that doesn't fit the plans of the left brain, I always come back to center by saying, listen, there's a bigger scheme at work, yeah, and it'll be this or something better.
Wow. Yeah, that's very beautiful. And despite all the chaos externally, do you have a grounding tool to bring you back to that insight?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And part of it starts with, again, Einstein's famous question where he said that, yeah, the most important question a person can answer in their lifetime is whether they live in a friendly or hostile universe. Because that's a binary equation. And it's, yeah, if you come from the traditional outdated and disproven now model of Newtonian physics, where you think there's an objective out there reality made of little particles that whiz around, then you are going to have a Darwinian sense of reality, which is survival of the fittest. Why? Because everything is separate from me and therefore it can be a threat. Whereas if you think that you live in a friendly universe, that this entire construct has been designed for your benefit, for your growth, for your maturation, then it's a benevolent schoolhouse. And as a result, whatever happens is going to be happening ultimately for your benefit. And it's far easier to be in that camp than the other camp if you think that you live in a friendly versus a hostile universe.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful. And I was just thinking back about a year ago when he came over to my house, we did the interview, and it was the content within the interview, but just the context of like how I saw the world very differently. And I never shared with you that like I just had this amazing up-leveling afterwards because it was just looking at reality through a new lens. I was forever changed from that.
That's humbling to hear back. I appreciate that. And people forget that life is a subjective experience. Mm-hmm. In fact, the only thing you can actually do in life, AJ, and very few people stop to even ponder come to terms with the reality of it, but the only thing that you can do in life is experience.
Mm.
And the only thing you can actually experience, if you want to take it a step further, is the act of experiencing. See, life is an inside job. Now, whatever's going on out there is almost irrelevant. Hence, two men sat behind prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars.
Yes. Very, very profound.
Yeah.
Now,
so we live through different lenses. And once we come to terms with that, we can start having a little bit more tolerance for the fact that everybody's just operating off their own data feed.
Absolutely. Yeah. We all know that perception is everything. And the lens you view life is going to either make you or break you. So let's say right now someone's going through a very, very difficult time. Perhaps they're, going through a divorce and they're being depressed and their business is going backwards and they can't pay their bills. They're in the red. It's chaos, right? What advice do you have for someone who's in a deep valley in their life right now?
Well, several things. One is that, we need to understand that outer world follows inner world, not the other way around. In other words, if you've got chaos in your inner world, it's likely going to project itself out. Yeah, it's a, if you've got chaos in your outer world, check your thinking. And the problem is it traps people into a loop, because in order for you to stop engaging in the mirror, you have to instigate a different image. But most people think that the outer world is the image and their own inner world is the reflection of that. In other words, they've got no money in their bank account, so they reflect depression, for example. All of a sudden, money's in their bank in the outer world, bang, now they reflect happiness. Yeah. Whereas they don't understand that your emotional bank account has to go up first. It's a, that's the leading indicator, not the other way around. Yeah. If you've got scarcity in your bank account, you're probably not thinking thoughts of abundance. And someone said, well, how can I? Well, because that's the way it is. I mean, take the physical body as an analogy. It's a case of, well, there's a delay. You don't walk into a gym 20 pounds overweight and then walk out thin. No, in fact, you walk out sore, right? You have to keep going. And the whole aspect of positive thinking is so hard for people that have the stuff in the outer world that they feel is conspiring against them. So if right now, everything that's happening in chaos, there's a couple of things that you need to look at. One is check your the muscle that you need to build, which is the muscle of being able to handle uncertainty. So if you're weak in that area, you're going to face a lot of chaos because there is no certainty in life. So if your rules for being able to have happiness, joy, or just having confidence in yourself are that, I need to have 3 months rent in the bank, I need to have my girlfriend not be upset with me, I need to have my boss not shout at me, and all that kind of stuff, you're putting a lot of stuff in the outer world that you can't control as a rule for your ability to feel something inside. You're handing your remote control to somebody and saying, hey, press whatever button you like. Well, that's not empowering. Now, the other thing one needs to understand is that Solomon, many, many years ago, King Solomon, went to some of his wisest people and he said, listen, I want you to create an inscription for me on a ring that whenever I get stressed, whenever there's chaos in the kingdom, I can look at it and it'll bring me back to center. And they debated and they looked around. Eventually, they came and they engraved this ring. And on it, it said, this too shall pass. You see, for most people, the chaos in their outer world is only temporary. And spring always follows winter. And a lot of the perceived problems that we have in the outer world are usually gateways or pathways to something much better, but we don't see that in the immediacy of the pain. So, for example, a lot of the stuff in their life that they look back on that were their worst moments, 6 months later, many people say, wow, thank God that happened. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this now.
So true. So true. Oftentimes, we look back and understand why it happened the way it did.
Yeah. But my point being is, if you know that now, in advance, why wait 6 months before you start celebrating? Again, we can get into it. Yeah, don't know how deep you want to go. Probably not too deep, to be fair.
I love going super deep. And it just made me think about your amazing book, The Inside Track. And I would love for you to share just a summary of the story that you went through that led to this amazing piece of work, because that'll be such a great insight for people that don't know what happened to you.
Okay, well, and again, you talk about, it's all right for you because you're sitting in the Canary Islands and you're doing well and everything's great and everything else. But, you don't know my story because, I'm about to be evicted and I'm this and, my husband just filed divorce papers and blah, 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 all the usual stuff.
Yes.
Well, I was very excited when this turn of events happened because I knew it would be a great reference for people to demonstrate that what I was talking about, you could actually work in real life and not on paper. And essentially just the quick backstory is that I was arguing a years old business deal in court with a major multinational. And they threw a contempt of court application at me, which I thought was a chess move to pressure me into a settlement. And I didn't want to be bullied. And I felt that what they were doing was unjust and there was no way I was going to back down. Yeah, a little bit of ego in there, a fair bit of sort of indigo resistance to injustice energy in there. And anyway, they sold it to the judge in court, which I never thought would have happened in a million years. and walking into court with a thriving business and 50 plus staff and changing thousands of lives and all the rest of it, and essentially turning around to my staff and saying, hey, listen, I've just got to pop into court next week and get rid of this bullshit that, you know, this company is trying to throw at me. And I literally had that level of energy around it. I never came back. The judge gave me what amounts to 6 months in prison, in jail.
Wow.
Lost everything. Yeah, my staff, my business, my, yeah, and at the time, the reputation, because nobody knew what was happening. Yeah.
It's like, and anyone's worst nightmare, you know? It's just.
As the only non-criminal, by the way, and I was put in, because it was the nearest jail to the courthouse, I was put into Pentonville, which is a statistically one of the most violent prisons, if not the most violent prison in the UK. And that's high security. We're talking terrorists, drug dealers, you know, armed robbers, you know, rapists. It's like, you know, this wasn't your Saturday afternoon sort of like, you know, cookie stealers. Right? So, yeah, I walked in having never been accused or charged of a crime. You know, not even the police knew that I was going to prison. It was a civil matter, civil action. And I walked in there knowing that I had a choice. And I talk a lot about the mechanics on the quantum mechanics around this in chapter 4, but yeah, it was essentially, do I go in as a victim? Because let's be honest, Edgy, what's wrong is always available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I said, here's £1 million, write a list of everything that sucks about your life. And if you get to 50, then you get £1 million, you'd find 50 things that suck about your life pretty quick. Right?
Easily.
We all could. Whereas if I, yeah, turn around and say, well, yeah, but what's right is also available. You could have the worst thing in the world. And you know something? I will make every one of your problems disappear and give you £1 million in the bank if you write a list of 50 things you can be happy or grateful for right now, even though you think your life sucks. You'd find 50 things to write.
Yes.
Again, you can play the game both ways. So absolutely. Which way do you want to play it? And I chose walking into jail to play a different game, not to be the victim, not to like complain at all the courtroom shenanigans and all of the, you know, what I felt was misrepresentation and distortion of context to try to manipulate the result, all of that crap. Yeah, I could dwell on that. I could justify myself and give myself an ego stroke for being a victim. Yeah, or I could just sit there and cry over the spilt milk. Or I could say, you know something? Arguing about or getting upset about anything that's already happened is futile. Because no matter what you do, unless you own a time machine, which last time I checked was not available in Walmart, you can't go back and change anything.
Yeah.
And some people get stuck there.
On acceptance.
Yeah. So forget that. The only question is, once you come to a place of accepting what is, not from a place of victim or resignation or apathy, but from a place of just knowing there's nothing I can do about what's already happened, I can channel that energy of resistance into, you know, knowing what to do or trying to do something about what's happened. You know, I can bitch about all week that the milk spilled on my brand new carpet. That's not going to put it back in the bottle. Yeah? If it's done, it's done. Okay, now let's figure out a way of tackling with it the best way forward. And I chose walking into jail not to be a victim, but to be a secret agent of change.
Mm.
And see if I could use what I've been teaching people for, you know, close to 3 decades in an environment where most people have probably never heard of personal growth and kind of be a sentinel. And that was my mission. And that's what I took on. And so I went in basically, yeah, having lost everything on what I was excited about being the most incredible adventure. In the movie of my life, I was just on location for 6 months filming the prison scene. That's how I saw it. And in a, you know, what I was knew was going to be an amazing movie, even if it was a pretty tough scene I was filming right now. That's where I was at. And yeah, I ended up getting a lot of the prison off drugs and changing lives and stopping suicides. And I won a national award while I was in there for the difference I was making and starting a bit of a movement. And some of that, even and today, in fact, I even got an email today from somebody working with prisons in the US, in Utah, that wants to use my work in there to help. And it's being rolled out across prisons, you know, globally at the minute as a template for how I was able to shift the mindset. So, yeah, there's always a way to turn something around and make it better.
I just got crazy amount of chills. I've read your book. I've heard that story numerous times, but every time I listen to it, it's like I get so inspired, you know, because you are just literally living your truth, right? everything that you're telling us to do, you're doing it. You know, sometimes people could preach and teach, but you're embodying it. And that's what makes it so amazing.
Or I'd have no right to open my mouth or expect anyone to listen to another word I say. You know, this, it's like you talk about health, AJ, and you're a picture of it. If you talk about health, but you know, you're 20 pounds overweight and you're drinking beer and eating Big Macs, I'm not going to listen. You know, if you can't walk your talk with yourself, what right have you got to share that information with others? And sometimes people are a good example of what not to do. It's not coming from judgment, but your movie of your life can either be a warning or it can be an example. And that's a choice, regardless of what's going on. There's not one person I've seen that has what you and I would call far more dire circumstances than anything you or I have experienced.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't point to an example where they've turned that around. And look at Nelson Mandela, 26 years, 27 years in jail, 18 on Robben Island.
See him on your wall back there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, and I had the privilege of working with Mandela's family and giving scholarships to my business school for kids in Soweto and Guguleto and some of the townships that we really turned around. But yeah, it's, we're always looking for examples and heroes. And let me ask you a question, the people listening, or watching. What makes a superhero? What is it?
Superhero? Type that in the comments. Would love to get your insights on that.
Yeah. Most people think. Maybe you've got an answer. Go on, give me what.
What comes up for me is a Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. You know, it's someone who goes through a set of challenges and turmoil, and going through the fire is rising up like a phoenix and becoming that superhero. The lessons, the insights, and the challenge you overcome that makes you the hero.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because a lot of people think, oh, what makes a superhero is superpowers. Yeah, but if Batman or Superman used his superpowers to walk into a 7-Eleven and grab a bag of chips, and fly out again, he's not a superhero, right? Yes. He may have superpowers. What makes a superhero is one thing, a supervillain. See, the size of the hero is always determined by the size of the villain. You know, you don't want to watch James Bond go rescue a kitten out of a tree for 90 minutes. You want him to take on, the guy that's about to destroy the world and all the rest of it. Superman doesn't become Superman by walking kids across the road at school. No, he does it by taking on the evil supervillain that's going to destroy the universe. You get the idea.
Yes.
So to be the superhero of your life, which we're all born with the ability to do, we need to face super challenges in our life in order to be able to step up.
Oh, sorry. I just thought about the concept that you shared, but the snakes and ladders analogy about having that supervillain, that adversity. And I would love for you to elaborate on that, because this is a great segue into that. That of, we all have it, whether it's a huge tax bill or a person who's destroying us in the media, what have you. I mean, they appear all around us, and most people, like I said, it's that decision.
Well, I guess the overriding context here, AJ, for people to come to terms with, and one of the biggest shifts in the evolution of human maturity, is the day that we wake up to the fact that life is a growth-centric experience, and it's not a comfort-centric experience. So if you watch the TV and commercials and see the ads, they want to sell you a comfort-centric experience. And one of the challenges is this. Our nervous system is wired for comfort. Now, that's really useful when it stops us from sitting on a sharp rock or sitting too close to a fire to get burned. Yet that it's useful. But our soul, the essence of who we are, the core of what makes us, is wired for growth. And it's managing that dynamic tension between the two. See, the commercial agenda is to sell you stuff to make your life more comfortable so it appeals to your nervous system to keep you in a comfort zone. But you see people that win the lottery at early age and retire, and within 3 nanoseconds, they're bored out of their brain because their potential is no longer being realized. And that potential lives way outside of a comfort zone. So if we understand that life is a growth-centric experience, now we can go and use the gym as an analogy. See, if you didn't know you were an athlete and you walk into the gym where you've been told to go and there's a personal trainer there and he's making you run on the treadmill until you're sick, and he's making you lift weights until you, like, you know, want to throw up or your arms hurt, you'd be like, why, man? What's happening? I don't like this guy. I don't want to be here. This is not good. Yeah, you're hiding behind the weight stack, right, when he's trying to find you, because you don't have context. Now, if you know that you're an athlete, you walk into that gym with a very different mindset. In fact, if you're not throwing up in half an hour with your expensive personal trainer, you want your money back, right? Yeah. It's like a very different game. So if you come at life thinking it's a comfort-centric experience, you're going to resist and bitch and complain and think that, yeah, life's tough whenever the challenges show up. But whenever life is putting weight on the bar, you're like, hang on, I'm here to win the gold medal. I'm here to cross the finish line of that ultra marathon. That's what I'm here to do. And the strongest trees grow in the strongest winds, not the best soil. Yes. So if you want to be the best version of yourself, which is what we're here to do, we're here to grow up. And not just physically, you know, that's obvious, but we're here to grow up mentally and emotionally. Now, the only discrepancy is consensus on what people think that means. Well, every great spiritual master, everyone on the wall behind me, every great avatar in human history has pretty much taught the same thing, that we're here to become more loving and less fearful. That's what Einstein was pointing towards with his question. We're here to grow up. If you want a real scientific context for that, I'll share one. Now, let's go to evolution. We can look over 400 million years of fossil records, and it has a pretty clear mandate. Evolution is always evolving into higher levels of complexity. So you take an amoeba, single cell, and you take a human body of 70-odd trillion cells, give or take, some more than others. What's the difference? Well, very easy. If you take 50 or 75, whatever it is, trillion amoebas and one food source, what do you have?
Human.
I mean, now, if you take 50 trillion amoebas, mm-hmm. not a human, you take 50 separate amoebas and you take one food source. Yeah, you got war.
Okay, yes, they're competing against it.
Yeah, exactly, right? They're trying to grab whatever they can, right? It's survival of the fittest, they're a man for themselves. Whereas if you take a human body and you have one food source, you don't have all of a sudden the liver trying to collude against the spleen in order to see who gets the most ATP.
It's a collaboration,
right?
Yes.
Collaboration. Yes. That is the one thing that is required for evolution to work. We're on a destination of ever higher levels of complexity, which can only work with higher levels of cooperation. Now, if you take the word cooperation and you extrapolate that to its logical conclusion, I think you hit one word: love.
Mm.
You know, the game's even set up that way. You take Source or the master programmer or whatever label you want to use. I'm not addicted. You know, the travesty of humanity is we go to war and kill each other over who's labeled for what we think God is right, you know?
It's true.
But if you take how the game's set up, I mean, genius, but it could have been done any way. You know, you could take a woman and Source could have set it up that, you squeeze her little fingernail and a kid pops out. But it didn't do that. So it obviously set up the game for a reason, because, there's an intelligent design here, we can tell.
Yes.
So, and it's absolute, what I call the elusive obvious. Yeah, you have to have masculine, feminine. You have to have a man and a woman cooperate and learn how to get along. Otherwise, the human race becomes extinct. Yeah. Anything outside of that, they put you in jail for, by the way. And at lower levels of consciousness, we have sort of hormonal urges and what you'd call lust and instinct, which is where the animals are. But at our level of evolution and our level of consciousness of evolution, we've got to learn how to love, otherwise we go extinct.
Speaking of levels of consciousness, you have this amazing chart in your book, The Map of Consciousness. And if you could see it, I'll explain it. It's essentially different levels from, like, say, 0 to 1,000, where you have like apathy, anger, lower levels of consciousness, where enlightenment is at 1,000 of the great sages in history, love, acceptance, and you're just going up that ladder. And I personally live my life by that, because it's this level of awareness. Where am I right now? Okay, I'm at a really low level of consciousness. It's not working for me. let me elevate to the next level, to the next level. And my question, I've been pondering this for many years now, and I would love to discuss it, create a dialogue around this, but is there a frequency or a level of consciousness that we can always operate at 24/7 that will give us, you know, just joy and attract great things and allow us to make a massive impact on humanity?
Great question. There's a difference between a state of consciousness and a stage of consciousness. Yeah. Where we operate as a baseline, if we use the corollary of school. So let's say you're in, you know, there's first grade to 10th grade.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's say your base level is fifth grade. Now, yeah, you're not able at fifth grade to answer 10 grade questions.
True.
You're in kindergarten, you're not going to take a PhD exam. And nobody's born enlightened. Nobody's born at level 10. You may look at some of the great people in history at some level and hypothesize, but reality is, Buddha wasn't born enlightened. He was born Prince Siddhartha.
Yeah, I was just literally thinking about Buddha and his amazing story, because I recently did a silence retreat, and a lot of it was discussing Buddha's life and all the stages he went to. And he went through a lot of challenges. You know, it's years of being an ascetic and starving himself and being on the brink of death. And, you know, most people don't know the full story, but you're right along those lines. It's like you're not just born in light.
Yeah, 100%. And that's probably one of the biggest things between Buddha and people like Jesus or Krishna or Allah, where Jesus predominantly taught unconditional love, and that was his pathway, whereas Buddha taught enlightenment and self-realization. That's kind of the main distinction between those two teachers.
Yes.
But when it comes to operating at a certain level, you're at where you're at, and that's okay. But a lot of people, unfortunately, they are... You can almost like, I'll give you the analogy of like, the little mini trampolines, like the rebounders.
Yes.
So where you are on your rebounder, if you weren't moving, you'd be at a certain level. Now you can bounce up and down a little bit within a range.
Yes.
And when you settle down, you come to where you're at. So let's just say you calibrate at anger. Yeah, you're a naturally angry person. Now we can talk about the reasons and everything else. In fact, most let's call them Mr. or Mrs. Angry, is a lot of that pattern is usually formed in childhood, where you experience some level of emotional pain, you lashed out, and the people you lashed out to withdrew their, let's call it antagonizing behavior. And you linked anger to either control or the restoration of significance, and that then became a pattern and a go-to. But that's beside the point. Let's just say you calibrate at anger. Right? You're an angry person. Now, does that mean to say you can't have moments of bouncing up to love? Of course not. Does that mean where you don't have moments where you can bounce back down to despair or grief? Of course not. But when you stop bouncing, you settle into your own stage of consciousness, because you can go to any state. A lot of people take plant medicines to access different states of consciousness and then return back to their stage, but now know what's possible, for example.
Yes, yes, yes. Correct.
And so is there a place where we can operate at a total level? It's not why we're here. Why we're here, it's like saying, hang on, if I'm at grade six, is there a way that I can operate always at grade 10? It's not why you're here. You're here to learn how to get to grade seven, and then grade eight, and then grade nine. At grade 10, there'll be another school. You go to college. So for you, looking through your lens, because you're at a high level of consciousness, AJ, you're asking questions like, how can... is there a place where we could be more loving?
Yeah, let's say, for example, for me, if I was at the intersection of living in the present moment and being in a state of love, that would be the perfect place to be. And if I could vibrate at that frequency and connect with people and teach them how to live in that way, the world would be a better place. So that's, it's a very optimistic.
Let me share my thoughts. Right, and this is challenging to a lot of people as well. And harshness by this at all. But you or I have absolutely no right to make the world a better place by trying to go and change the world. What you have the absolute right to do, as does everybody, is to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And as a result, you may have an impact on making the world a better place.
Yes. Be the change.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so when it comes to asking questions about us versus other is always the go-to. It's a case, okay, what do I have to do to progress my consciousness where I can live in a more loving and present state? Yeah, so that I can be the example and the invitation. And if somebody chooses to do nothing with that, that's not your issue. That's not your path. That's their movie, not your movie. Some people are born to be the warning, not the example, for example. Yeah. So, but asking the question, what could I do to go to the next level of consciousness, my next level of stage? You're doing a lot of really cool stuff right now. Yeah? Silent retreats, contemplation, you know, personal study, surrendering ego, surrendering fear, choosing love over fear in ever more challenging circumstances is the pathway.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, Peter. And one thing I was thinking about is like sometimes I just had this insight now that we're always trying to improve. And one thing, I keep a journal, 14 years I've not missed a day. When I look back on even a decade ago, where my consciousness was back then, it's like light years ahead, you know, and sometimes we don't think we've changed that much, but even within a year's time, it's amazing to see your own progression of your perception of the world.
Hmm. The difference between Earth school and regular school is that regular school, we kind of don't get to choose. We're guided, we're shepherded through a curriculum whereby, you know, we grade or we resit the exam and then we hopefully go up. Whereas in Earth school, it's a choice. You can choose to hang out in anger for the next five lifetimes. Life doesn't get, it's, you know, you can't run out of time. But the higher up the levels of growth and emotional and spiritual maturity you go, the less painful of the feedback.
Yes.
It sucks living as a victim. It sucks living in despair. It sucks living in grief. And every part of your immune system will give you that feedback.
This is a perfect time to segue into the one area that I love that you teach and is about that victimhood. Life happens to me, life happens for me. And I would love for you to share that, the context behind that.
Gotcha. Well, it's, if you look at the map of consciousness in the inside track, it's a very comprehensive model. I take no credit for it. It was designed by Dr., you know, the late great David Hawkins, who you can also see on the back wall there. Yes. Next to the map of consciousness, actually.
Power versus Force was indeed a great book.
One of the most incredible books that if you're ready for, will you know, shift your life. But Hawkins created that map of 17 levels of consciousness, and it's a phenomenal tool. I use it consistently. But for many people, when they learn something new, the brain kind of goes one, two, three, four, many. Yeah? And so I chunked it down into a model that allows people an easier level of understanding. Because when it comes to consciousness, it's a very nebulous concept that very few people know how to conceptualize in a way to get value from. Again, go back to Einstein. Yeah, pretty smart bloke. And he turned around and said, you cannot solve a problem at the same level of consciousness that created the problem. Now, sounds the kind of thing that a quantum physicist and Nobel Prize winner would say, and it sounds intelligent, but how do you get practical value out of that? How do you make it real in your daily life when you've got to pay the mortgage on Friday?
True.
So I looked at that. And yeah, the problem with consciousness is that on one side, it's very esoteric. It's nebulous. It's the buzzword of the sort of spiritual, happy, clappy, divine, sing kumbaya, let's hold crystals kind of gang that a lot of the Newtonian paradigm left brainers can't relate to.
Yeah, a little on the woo-woo side.
Yeah. And then, but on their side, it's reduced usually to a biological byproduct of brain function, which is completely false. The brain hasn't, never will ever produce consciousness, you know, any more than a radio can write and produce music, you know, or a television can produce programs. No, it's just,
transmitter.
Exactly. It's part of the physical rule set that governs the physical body, but consciousness exists outside of the physical. For most people, the physical rule sets are very easy to figure out. That's what our sciences dictate. Yeah, physics doing molecule particles, chemistry doing molecules, and biology doing cells. But yeah, so the physical reality is governed by rules that our sciences have outlined. Yeah, physics doing particles, you know, chemistry doing molecules, biology doing cells. And we figured those rules out very precisely that we can put somebody in space or repair the human body. But consciousness doesn't belong to the physical rule set. It exists outside of that. As I was saying, consciousness belongs outside of the physical rule set. You can't put it in a jar. You can't sell it in Walmart. You can't measure it. It's, yeah. When you dream at night, you simply access with your consciousness a different data stream. In this reality, we get the physical data coming through the physical senses. In the dream reality, it's just as real. It's still a sense of who we are, but we're getting a different data stream that exists outside of the physical. Right? So consciousness is something that very few people have a grip on to be able to understand. So I want to create a container to allow practical value in our daily life. And that's when I came up with the four levels of consciousness, should we say. The first one being the victim mentality of to me, which is the mantra of, I would have the life I want. I would get the bank account I want, but everything happens to me.
Excuses, blame, outside forces.
Absolutely. Complete victim mentality. And a lot of people, unfortunately, stay there because it gives them secondary gain. It feels like crap, but at least they don't have to face their fear through courage to be able to get out of that. And it's far easier to blame somebody else than it is to accept personal responsibility. But once you do that, you can move up to the next level, which is the level of buy me. Buy me is your classic, typical type A achiever, entrepreneur, like, hustle, get out there, make it happen. Because if I want the life that I want, it's going to happen by me. And to get from to me to buy me is a massive jump. Now, it can happen in a heartbeat. There's nothing externally that's stopping anyone from going from to me to buy me, other than, as I said, giving up blame and replacing it with personal responsibility and making a freaking decision that you're not going to settle for a life that you don't deserve anymore.
Yes.
But being in buy me is pretty exhausting. Yeah, you're basically wrestling with the world rather than being beaten up by it. So you're taking it on. You're swimming upstream instead of bitching about the river. So the next level is the level of through me. This is where life flows through you. This is where you're no longer engaged in a battle. You're flowing with the river of life and you accept the bends. Not from a place of apathy, not from a place of like resignation, but as a skilled sailor saying, well, if life's going to give me lemons, then it's time for a gin and tonic. It's that level of flying with life. And what you tend to find is your consciousness rises, the river tends to settle down a bit. When your consciousness is low, you tend to get feedback from life with rapids and pirates and waterfalls. It's a perfect closed loop system. In fact, I'll give you one other analogy, which I think you'll really relate to. I tend to see life as a kitchen. And in that kitchen, you have absolutely everything you need to create the meals you want. You've got the gas is connected to the cooker. The oven is on, the hob is on, the pots and pans are there, the utensils are there, the ingredients are there, everything that you would need. Some people are sitting in the kitchen complaining that they're hungry, because they think life should come with a chef. Well, that's not why we're here. Oh, I'm still here, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Just checking. Now you froze. I'm like, oh no, you were just contemplating. All good. No,
I'm present. I'm present to your wisdom.
But the great thing about this classroom, this school that we're in called life, this earth school, is that the rules are consistent. The feedback is consistent. Now, guess what? I can work with that. See, gravity doesn't take public holidays. Yeah, it's a consistent rule set. So if I oversalt the food, guess what it tastes like?
Salty.
Guess what? I can work with that. If I put the pizza in the oven for too long, guess what happens?
Burnt.
It burns.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Amazing. I can work with that. If I was to oversalt the food and sometimes it came out great and sometimes it came out horrible, I'd get confused. You see, there are rules to life. Yeah, if you've got no money in your bank account right now, it's not because life is, the kitchen doesn't feed you. It's because you don't know the rules of how to create the money in the bank account, because you're probably still trying to chase money because you think it's, you know, it'll give you the comfort or the significance or the certainty that you think it'll give you. You don't get that money doesn't come to you when you chase it, because it's a byproduct or a consequence of you adding value to something. So start chasing the adding value and money will start appearing. Oh, didn't see it that way. I mean, imagine, AJ, that if you know, obviously you know how to drive. I've seen your gorgeous Bentley out there. But let's just say, for example, you were never taught the rules of the road. You had no clue what that white line in the middle meant. You had no clue what the different colored lights are at the junctions. And you didn't understand what the little numbers were in the circles at the side of the road. Every time you went to the supermarket or every time you went to visit friends, it would be a scary experience. Right?
Yes.
And why do I keep getting pulled over by the police and giving tickets? And like, it would be a fear-based experience where you're trying to dodge people on the road and make it safely to the grocery store. And now, if I was to pull you aside and say, hey, listen, just in 3 minutes, give you a couple of hints on the rules of the road, explain what the white line in the middle is about. Explain what the different colored lights meant. Explain what the circles were that with the numbers in that, you know, represented your speed limit, for example. In 2 to 3 minutes, your entire experience of driving would suddenly transform.
Absolutely.
Now, question, did we change any of the other drivers on the road?
No.
Did we put more or less police on the road writing tickets?
Nope.
No. You see, the outer world is almost irrelevant. Life is a subjective experience. When you understand that, oh, I'm complaining that money's not showing up in my bank account. Oh, well, you weren't taught the rules of the road. Oh, I'm complaining that I'm stressed. Well, you weren't taught the rules of the road. You're probably still trying to get other people to fit your pictures as to what you think they should fit.
Well,
guess what? That's a fast pass to unhappiness. Oh, well, I'm still not allowing myself permission to feel joy until I've proved to my, you know, my parents that I've got more money than my brother and I should have got more attention than he was when I was 7 years old. Whatever. Fill in the blank. And I could go on and on. You just don't have the rules of the road.
Yes.
You weren't taught how to cook in the kitchen. But guess what? The feedback is there.
Mm-hmm.
When you go down the freeway of life, yeah, and you veer off the side of the road, there is something called a rumble strip.
Yeah.
It's there to get your attention. Brrr, right? Mm. Yeah. Danger. You're off track. Now, as people drive down the highway and they veer off track and they're listening to their music and everything's cool and they're swaying about and all of a sudden, brrr, what do most people do? Let's use a health analogy. You know, I'm eating McDonald's four times a week and I'm like, you know, taking ready meals and fast food. I'm not taking care of myself and I'm drinking tons of coffee and all that. And what happens? Oh, pain in my chest.
Yeah.
Oh, you know,
dizzy spell.
Rumble strip. What do most people do? Oh, that rumble strip's interrupting my music I was enjoying. Let me turn up the music. Let me go to the doctor and get a pill. No, feedback. The feedback works. If you're depressed right now, watching or listening to this, guess what? It's not because the depression cloud came along and rained on you. It's not because your boss is an asshole. Yeah. It's not because you don't have money to pay the rent. Yeah, depression is a rumble strip. Something's out of sync. You're either too focused on yourself. You're either too focused on survival and not focusing on what you can contribute in order to generate income or money. You're too busy being... taking your eye off the ball to want to be able to get inspired by pursuing your path of personal growth. Rumble strip. Yeah. If you've got anxiety, if you've got fear in your life right now, rumble strip.
Mm.
It's not there to be opposed. It's there to pay attention to.
Yes.
So if I'm working with somebody with cancer, one of the first things I do is say, what's your relationship to your illness? And most people are like, oh, I'm trying to fight it. You know, and you see all the charities, like, let's fight cancer. Dude, right? It's the messenger.
Mm.
When was the last time you sat around the same side of the table rather than the opposite side of the table like a chess game trying to beat it, which, by the way, is probably one of the reasons it showed up. When was the last time you came around and sat down and said, okay, if this is a message I'm trying to hear, what's it trying to tell me?
Mm.
And the amount of times I've seen spontaneous remission happen because the message was, you need to let go of the grudge you've been carrying against your dad for 20 years because he was only trying to do the best with what he was dealing with at the time. Or, yeah, you really need to stop trying to control and fight to get more money so that you can prove to the world you're good enough, because the world already knows you're good enough and doesn't care. It's just your perception of what you think other people are judging you for, which, by the way, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
They're more concerned about their own lives. Yeah.
Weight drop off your shoulders. Wow. Never saw that. And that's a choice. And it's very rare that cancer has a physical-based cause. Yes, if you've worked in an asbestos factory for 20 years, if you've been smoking for 20 years, whatever, then yes, there is a violation of the physical rule set that would lead to a higher probability of getting cancer.
Mm.
But most people these days who get cancer, it has, as many doctors will confirm, a massively psychosomatic component that has its basis in stress, has its basis in trying to control the outer world you can't control. And when you address it from that angle, you'd be amazed at seeing how fast people recover.
Wow. Big part of it, you know, is surrendering to what is and just going with the flow of life.
You cannot surrender if you think you live in a hostile universe, because there's nothing benevolent to surrender to.
Mm.
So that's where people get resigned. And sometimes life in the classroom will put you so hard against a wall that you've got nothing left to do. The left brain can't figure out any way to get out of this. It's like, oh, bang, and you let go. And in the moment you let go, a solution presents itself. In the moment you let go, your neighbor that's been driving you mad moves. Yeah, your boss, yeah, or your fires you, and you walk into a much better job with much better pay with much better people. Yeah, the second you surrender, and the difference is based on your level of consciousness, AJ, you hear the word from different places. So if you calibrate at pride is the highest expression of force before you go into power. So it calibrates at 199 on the map of consciousness, or 175 to 199. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, nothing right or wrong, by the way. Yeah, what's better, a 4-year-old or a 12-year-old?
Nah, but they're both.
Everyone operates perfectly where they're at. So if a 4-year-old says that the moon is made of cheese, you're not going to argue with them. To them, the moon's made of cheese.
Hmm.
That's okay. It's what 4-year-olds think. That's okay. So you don't go to a 4-year-old and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, Johnny, that's stupid. Let me show you the latest geology reports from NASA from the moon rock analysis of the Apollo mission. No, you don't do that. The moon's made of cheese for a 4-year-old. That's okay.
Yes.
So if somebody's in pride, it's very hard for them to surrender to something that they can't control. You turn around to a U.S. Marine and say, what's your association to the word surrender?
Yikes.
Exactly.
It's very negative connotation.
No effing way.
Yeah.
Right? Fixed bayonets in charge. No. So, but if you turn around to somebody who is at the end of their tether and they've got nothing left and they finally surrender, what are they surrendering? They're surrendering the need for control. And in Buy Me, that's all you have is the ability, the need, and the persistence of trying to control the outer world to fit your pictures. And at some point, you're going to hit the rumble strip.
Mm.
Now, if you go higher at the map of consciousness, you're going to hear surrender from another place. You're going to hear it from surrendering to the inevitability, yeah, of what is. That's what the spiritual masters were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
About oneness. Yeah, at your level and my level, we start to hear it from surrendering to the wisdom of the current. Because we trust the river of life. We know that life is nonlinear. We know there's no straight lines in nature. We know that only the left brain is trying to march in a straight line towards its goal. And that doesn't work for anybody. You get obstacles. There's no straight lines. Every river winds. And when you learn to trust the river because you live in a benevolent universe, you now concentrate your energy on being a better sailor rather than trying to control the current.
Yes.
And that has a very different outcome on the path of life.
And that's the third level, right? There's one that's level of levels. Yes.
Yeah. Now the higher level is what we call ASMI.
Mm.
And ASMI again is where all the spiritual masters arrived at and taught from. And essentially that's where you realize that duality disappears. There is no separation. The illusion of separateness disappears. I see myself as in you. I see myself in this room. I see all of that stuff we heard from the enlightened masters. Now, I don't want to get there because I kind of like this part of Earth school I'm in. And you mentioned earlier, it made me smile a bit, your question about what can I do to forever live in a state of joy and peace and what have you. Guess what? If you graduate Earth school, expect a bus to come along and knock you out because you no longer need to be here.
Mm.
Time to go to college, wherever that may be. You get the idea?
Yes, yes.
Right? Which is why if you study any of the great Buddhist monks, Zen masters, or enlightened teachers, many of them became enlightened and passed away almost either immediately or within a very short period of time.
Oh, wow.
And if you look, why? No need to be here anymore. You see, if you graduate grade 10, or what age do you, what grades are in the U.S. system? When do you leave high school and go to college?
Well, 12th grade is senior in high school.
12th grade. So you've passed 12th grade, but I want to stay in high school.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
You don't get that. But no, I like it here. But you've graduated. I don't want to go to college. I want to stay in high. Doesn't happen.
Yes.
If you're an actor in the movie of your life and you're acting out a script, and Daniel Craig and James Bond, going back to him, right, gets the script, he might love this movie. It may be his swan song. It may be everything. And he finishes the final scene. And he goes to the director and says, but I want to keep acting. I want to keep in this movie. I want to film more in it. But no, you filmed all the scenes.
Mm.
Movie's finished. No. We'll keep it going. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? There's a time where we will film the final scene of this movie of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go pick up another script somewhere. And hopefully we'll pick up a script like we did this time for many people that are having a tough time right now that challenges us to become a better actor.
Mm.
Because that's what we're here. We're here to learn how to choose love over fear in ever more challenging circumstances. That's the definition of become a better actor by every definition, every spiritual master. Yeah, evolution. Yeah, the human design. It all points the same direction.
Absolutely.
How do we grow up? By choosing love over fear in ever more challenging circumstances. And it's an intelligent school. And if you get pissed off because somebody flips you off in traffic and that riles you, you're going to attract more people at that level of exam until you pass it. At some point, you pass the exam. You know something? They clearly need the road more than I do. I'm just so grateful that I don't live in that world where they're so stressed, they've got to drive like an idiot and put people in danger. You know, I'm going to send him some love.
Yeah.
Guess what? Nobody flips you off in traffic anymore because you don't need to pass that exam.
I've had years since my last road rage incident, and it's incredible. I didn't even think about it, you know? I could be talking to a friend on the phone. They'd be like, man, these drivers are assholes. This person's tailgating me and they're so close and they drive me so aggressively. I'm like, wow, I don't notice that when I'm driving.
You don't, yeah. You're not at that grade in school anymore.
Yeah.
See, the next level there is you come out of a mall and somebody's like put a key down the side of your car.
Hmm.
And now it's like, okay, next level, grade 8. Graduated grade 7, we go to grade 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at some point you may come to the awareness like, you know something, I'd much rather own a nice car that gets scratched than walk around scratching them, and I have compassion for the people that do that.
Yes.
Perception. Guess what? Nobody scratches your car anymore. You go to grade 9.
Yeah.
Welcome to Earth School. It never ends. It shouldn't end. Yeah. Well, you're an athlete. When do you finish your workout? You always train. You're an athlete.
Yeah. And then through you, you become the car. You're all at one. Yeah, so speaking of, you know, I love the analogy of Earth School, but you actually have a program that, you know, everything we just discussed, and it's a really high level stuff, you apply it, it's actually tangible. And I would love to talk about EMF because that's very, very profound for people to hear about.
Oh, thank you, Ezra. Yeah, the Elite Mentorship Forum is a program that I designed specifically because I was, you know, I didn't see a lot of places in personal growth that were teaching how to raise your level of consciousness and become the best version of yourself. I saw a lot of people teaching strategies on how to run the same patterns faster and harder. In other words, 90% of personal growth is teaching you better strategies to be more by me. Yeah. Work harder, set goals, get to them faster. Nobody's happy. Yeah, all of that. Nobody's happy. Nobody's fulfilled. Most people are stressed out, burnt out, borderline depressed, and thinking that the next way to get closer to their goal will work. So the Elite Mentorship Forum is a 6-month journey of transformation that I take people on groups at a time, where I essentially create a peer group, which is a massive part of it, of people that are committed to raising their own game from the inside out. Yeah? And I teach 12 modules on how to essentially do that, which I hold your hand through throughout a 6-month period, because anything less than 6 months and it kind of doesn't stick. Any more than that, and people tend to want results quicker. But there's immersion where you go and spend a weekend with something, but 2 weeks later you've forgotten most of what you knew. So regular spaced repetition on progressive high level content with accountability, etc., is really the fastest and most effective long term way of creating transformation in people, because we're not short of information these days. People are drowning in information and they're starving for transformation.
So true.
And I don't want to teach you stuff. I want to facilitate you becoming a better version of yourself, because that can never backslide. Skills can be taught, learned, forgotten. But here's the reality, AJ. Most people that are learning skills right now, or trying to achieve goals and buy better business strategies, if they don't raise their level of consciousness, they will simply find different avenues and different techniques for earning the same amount of money.
So true. That's a brilliant point.
Yeah. Plus or minus 10%, they probably earned the same this year as they did last year. Mm-hmm. Or they're on the feast famine cycle. Or they're on this glass ceiling they can't break through. Or they keep self-sabotaging because they don't understand that the glass ceiling above them has nothing to do with a lack of skills or opportunity. But it has everything to do with the fact that they've tied their self-worth to their net worth, and their patterns or unconscious patterns of being undeserving or not good enough will keep them pegged at a certain level of validation and externally in that. And which is why I say that the number one rule or the number one law of personal growth is that people can never rise above the opinion of themselves. So how do we shift that at a deep level? How do we reach in and take the childhood patterns out? How do we reach and take the insecurities out? How do we destroy people's addiction to the good opinion of others? How do we shift their primary driving need from significance and validation to growth and contribution, and have all the other stuff they thought they wanted show up effortlessly? That's why I created the EMF.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful program. And again, it's kind of like the analogy you're giving with a car. If no one's ever driven a car before, and you give them the basic tools of understanding the road and safety and other drivers, and all of a sudden they're driving 100 miles an hour effortlessly on the highway. It's like the same thing with their life and business. Yeah. Now, where could people go to learn more about this program, apply for it?
My website is always the go-to place at petersage.com. But if you go to petersage.com/EMF, there's some information there. Or I give a whole training on it, on what you can expect and what it's about, with a load of really good free content at petersage.com/training. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to go to have a look at some of the insights, because I want to try to give as much. Not everyone's going to be able to have the ability, time, or resources to come on board. And I'm very selective as to who comes on as well, because they're part of my peer group. If you want a really great value add for those that want to understand the power of a peer group, or think that the peer group right now isn't what they aspire it to be, I've got a 5-day challenge on my website as well. Or go to takepeteschallenge.com. And that also will give you a free 5-day challenge that will, every day I give you a little bit of content on how to upgrade your peer group and look at what's stopping you or holding you back. So I try to put as much stuff out there as possible for those that are serious and really want to drill down and say, no, I want the top level here. Then the Elite Mentorship Forum is there, but I try and put out a ton of free content for as many people as I can that can help them at whatever level they're at.
That's awesome. I really appreciate your generosity. I'll make sure to add all the links on there. You can see it below on my online super coach website. You'll have everything from the 5-day challenge to the training, and of course, direct into EMF. And I just want to thank you tremendously just for the amount of generosity, the value, the wisdom. I mean, you can just keep going and going. I can just keep listening. And I'm sure people are just taking notes and getting insights and breakthroughs as they're hearing you talk.
Oh, no, I appreciate that, AJ. And yes, this time of my life, I resonate far more with being the teacher. But again, that always starts with all of us through being the example and the invitation. If I couldn't walk my talk on this, and I'm far from perfect, you know, I probably make more mistakes in Earth School and get the wrong answers than I do the right ones. But that's okay. You know, ultimately, one of my beliefs is that you can never get it wrong and you'll never run out of time. You know, we've got more than enough movies to act in. And, you know, sometimes we learn far more from giving the wrong answers than the right answers. It's all okay. You know, if you get salty food, it's great feedback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And final question to wrap this amazing interview up. You know, we're all going into the next chapter, next level of our life. But for you, Peter, what is the one word that signifies your next chapter and why?
One word. I mean, for me, it's always aspiring back to authenticity. If I can be more authentic, because that means being committed to my truth, not committed to an ideal. Ideals change because we change. Not committed to doing this particular thing. Now, what is my truth? And so for me, authentically right now, my truth is sharing my message and writing more books and helping more people. But if I'm authentic, a year from now, that may change. And it's, do I have the courage to be able to listen to that inner voice rather than the mind's justification as to what it thinks I should do? So really, for me, the future is just about staying on point and following my truth. And I can only do that if I'm being authentic.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for sharing that, Peter. And I appreciate this entire experience. I got a ton of value from it. Everyone else did as well. And wow. So again, make sure you go onto the websites below. You're going to get all the links to work with Peter, get to know him in a far greater way, and also go through his trainings, which are incredible. And also one last thing, Peter did an incredible TED Talk recently. You can find that on YouTube. And I highly recommend watching that because that has a ton of value in a little short bite-sized piece of content.
Thank you, Ajay. I just did my sixth TED Talk last week, actually. It's not been released yet.
Wow. All right. Cool. Something to look forward to.
I think everyone will like that. That was TEDx Patras in Greece.
Oh, nice.
And the theme of that one was handling uncertainty.
Handling uncertainty. Wow.
And why do intelligent people procrastinate? So I'll leave you with that one.
Very timely. Excellent. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. This was awesome.
Pleasure, my friend. And it's such a gift for me to be able to see you giving your gift to the world in the way you have. You're so consistent. You're so generous. And you're, again, such a shining example of what you preach and what you show up as. So thank you for being the example and the invitation as well, buddy.
Received. Well received.
Thanks for listening to the Online Super Coach Podcast. If you like this show, share it with your friends and subscribe on iTunes. For show notes and for free training on how you can attract, convert, and deliver like a million-dollar online coach, visit OnlineSuperCoach.com.